Hello, everyone, and welcome in. It is the Super Serious Sports Show. My name is Jeff Rich. I am joined by Jen Rich here in the CentralCityRadio.com studios. And Jen, you ready to get super and serious about sports on this show?
Why not?
All right. So we're coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, the 602, the Valley of the Sun and the Fun. And we've gotten out and experienced both because that big fireball in the sky has raged down on Phoenix, and summer is upon us.
It is definitely here.
Got out. We've gotten out. We've seen a couple of Diamondbacks games. Hockey and NBA kind of have continued to price out, Joe Q Public as far as being able to afford a game without really making it part of your monthly dispensable income budget.
It's a little more than one can handle.
It's definitely good tickets on the secondary market, and then you don't really want to participate in the primary market because it's Ticketmaster, and whether it's Ticketmaster, StubHub, TicketSmart, whatever, they're all going to add their fees on because they're in the business of reselling tickets to this scheme to make a profit, Jen.
So many fees.
We went to Arizona State Baseball, and was the site StubHub?
StubHub.
All right.
They ended up going through Ticketmaster, though. So the way they transferred was actually through Ticketmaster.
Okay, what was the list price on the tickets? We got two of them.
They were only 23 each.
23 each, and that's what you saw, so you paid 46 out the door?
No.
Okay, so tell me what you paid out the door.
It was like 63.
63 for a couple of $23 tickets.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes every time. It's really tough. I mean, you could be the season ticket holder, but, it kind of gets to be, we've been partial season ticket holders for the Diamondbacks. We've had full season tickets for Arizona State football, which isn't that difficult because it's like six or seven Saturday nights.
Right.
Diamondbacks.
All but like the first two are pretty hot.
Right.
Or all but
the last.
Yeah, the first two are really hot. The rest of the season's usually pretty okay.
Well, the Pac-12 does the Sun Devils no favor by putting them at home on the back half of the season. They still get those September home games, and sometimes they only get one November home game, and that's a little bit ridiculous because that's kind of the ideal time to have Tempe, Arizona kicking off at noontime. But we watched the Sun Devils play Rhode Island over the weekend. They took the weekend series, and this was kind of like our full circle return from COVID, right? That we ended up, our last game that counted in the standings was Sun Devils and Fresno State Bulldogs in March of 2020. And here we are having returned to Phoenix Municipal Stadium where the Sun Devils play. And we watch them play Rhode Island. I don't think that we stick around too much for the conference games. I think that we get really excited about them in like February on a regular basis. And, we end up seeing a lot of the non-conference games. A lot of times when they are playing teams from back east that are escaping their nuclear winter while it's, 98 degrees here in the Valley of the Sun in early May.
I think this is the latest we've been out to an ASU baseball game, though. Usually we do jump on them right when the season starts. It's nice and cool. It was hot out there.
Very hot. And much like Sun Devil Stadium was, the chief complaint about old Sun Devil Stadium, because there aren't many seats that remain like this, the metal bleachers.
It may as well had been a convention oven.
The way that you're at Van Buren and Washington in Phoenix there, more or less. You're a little bit off of Washington there, but your
stadium runs east west, so it just has direct sun exposure
and you're in,
all day long.
You're in your own valley that's created there with the rocks coming down, so the rocks are bouncing into the stadium, and then the metal seats just catch it, and it's understandable why attendance at Arizona Cardinals games just took a sharp left turn, and people started going to the early games because, hey, it's inside. It's climate controlled, and we're going to give you plastic seats, even if they do get a little bit warm. It's not like sitting on the old metal bleachers, you know, half a mile from the sun at Sun Devil Stadium over there in Tempe.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try to, you know, enlighten you a little bit on the local scene. Obviously, we'll spend more time with, you know, the Yotes and the Suns and ASU, maybe the Phoenix Rising, maybe the Phoenix Mercury. You know, they've been a title-level team. You know, whatever we are watching. I mean, we've watched ostriches and camels run at Turf Paradise here in Phoenix. You know, so why not?
As long as I get to be outside, beverage, some nachos. I don't care what I'm watching, honestly.
Okay, so you're good on practice baseball?
Yeah.
The Open. You like the Open?
Yeah, I like going to the Open. I don't actually watch any of the golf that's going on, though.
It's not about the golf. It's
people,
about the, going to the
people
event.
Watching, yeah.
I mean, because if you want to watch the golf, you can watch it on TV, and you get, you know, these HD shots with the, you know, little tracer replays on everything. But not that much of a golf fan. More a fan of attending the, it's sponsored by Waste Management, right?
The showmanship of people, yeah.
You know, the showmanship of people. It's a people watching event. As spring training, as really anything can be, because people are just generally hilarious. Unfortunately, you know, our version of hilarious doesn't make them hilarious in real time. It's like, you know, it's like we go to the home opener for the Diamondbacks, right? And it's been put out there plenty that the concession situation on opening day or you know, the home opener that they had against the against the Reds in early April, that, you know, it was a joke. And okay, it stunk. It was a stinky situation. I myself was counting on feasting at the ballpark, but the lines were just too long.
It's part of going to the ballpark. You get your nuts, you get your hot dog, you get your nacho helmet, you get all sorts, you get 14-foot-long hot dogs. I mean, it's what you do at ballparks.
And, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, we stuck that we've been to 18 of the 30 active ballparks, really 19. We just haven't gotten back to the new ballpark in Texas, which, you know, there was really no fan eligibility for regular season games a year ago. But the Diamondbacks kind of screwed it up. But it was like this guy behind us, you know, it started on the concessions. Yeah, you knew 20,000 people were coming. You should have more than six people, working your vendor stands.
Right, because they didn't have all the concession stands open. They didn't have any of the little side carts. They had, like, one concession stand open per level.
Yeah, and nobody roaming. No, nobody selling lemonade like grandma made.
No, I miss that man.
We got to see him again. I heard that he's not doing well. I'll have to follow up on that and get it out there on my social media, which is at Jeff Rich Talks, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And you are not as active on the other platforms. You like the Instagram. And I see you wearing the black and white Arizona State hat this evening. But it's just one of your many hats.
It is, because I am a girl of many hats.
At a girl of many hats on Instagram. That's how you check out Jen Rich. And like I said, we'll talk about the local scene. We'll touch a little bit on what's of national notoriety here. But Diamondbacks, Suns, Yotes, D-backs, you know, all really in the news. Because, you know, right now, you know, the Yotes season's typically over because they don't make the playoffs.
No.
Haven't been there. Well, haven't been there since 2012 is what I want to say, but you would correct me on that.
Right.
Because they were a bubble playoff
team. They managed to make it last year due to crazy COVID stipulations. Otherwise, they would not have made it last year.
And were they?
So I don't even think we should count last year.
Did they? Do you think they backed in last year, even though they won in the opening round against the Predators?
Yeah.
And then they ran into a pretty hot Colorado
Avalanche. Team. Yeah, took care of them.
So it would be nice to get them back in.
Not this team, no.
But it's, I mean, Jen, I want to say that it's over because they've just been so inconsistent and they haven't come up with it, you know, when they need it the most. the Utes just don't have it. They don't have that goal scorer, and they can keep calling these guys up and then, you know, and then moving out. They're not, I believe that they're convinced that Tockett's the right guy for the job there, but they're on a learning curve, new ownership, brought in, you know, the new team president and everything. And, you know, it would be nice. I mean, they're, you know, when you look at it on paper, they're down a couple points to St. Louis to get into that fourth spot in the Western Division, you know, brought to you by a Japanese car maker. And it's 3 points. It's a win, and you know, staving off a loss until you get to overtime or the shootout.
Right.
So they have a chance, but they don't have a chance. And they're playing, and it sets up pretty well because they are playing the Sharks and the Kings the rest of the way, which are two of the three teams that are behind them in the Western Conference standings. So they're not even playing potential playoff teams. But they're going to find a way to mess it up. And then we're going to have a long off season, and we're going to have a great unknown at some point about the arena.
I was gonna say, it's been a great unknown for the Coyotes for about 10 years now, though. So that's not... None of this is a surprise to anybody anymore. It's old news.
Is relocation the boy who cried wolf with you?
I think it is.
I don't think there's a great place to put him. I mean, you can create all these Canadian markets, but all you're doing is siphoning off your fan base from other, you know, other parts of the NHL.
Right.
They got the seven teams up there. You don't need to put a team in Hamilton, Ontario. You don't need a team in Quebec City.
No.
That's why they ended up in Denver in the first place. Because they didn't, you know, they didn't properly support their team. Now it's a different conversation when you're talking baseball and you're talking about the Montreal Expos, and it's just insane to me how many, you know, how many rebrands and relocations and expansion teams, you know, have been added. You know, amongst them, obviously the Arizona Diamondbacks, but I think that there was a lot more popularity, and we were both adolescent or pre-adolescent when the Marlins and the Colorado Rockies came around. And I think that there was a lot of excitement with those brands being added. And I think that the Diamondbacks and the Devil Rays both kind of paid the price for it. There wasn't as much excitement jumping on the second two expansion teams as there was the first, because they were the first in, like, almost 20 years, you know, since you go back to the 70s with the Mariners and the Blue Jays being added to the league. And then everybody got really tired of these new teams because the Florida Marlins beat the Indians in like their fifth year of existence, and the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees, which, I mean, everybody loved because finally it was over for the Yankees.
It was unfortunately the year that the Yankees really needed it, though.
Oh, because of 9/11.
Yeah, it was kind of, New York really needed that more than Phoenix did, but...
But New York, you know, New York was already on borrowed time. Yeah. You know, they'd won in 2000, 99, 98, and 96, and it was nice to see another team. Now, the Diamondbacks weren't exactly full of heroes because everybody's going to look at Luis Gonzalez's season there in 01 and say, all right, how did you get into that Barry Bonds class? But only for this specific year. You know, I know that he hit 50-plus home runs, and, you know, his numbers retired there, and there's no disrespect intended for Luis Gonzalez, but everybody kind of looks at the way that the Diamondbacks won sideways, and if it wasn't such a heroic act... And I was here for it. I wasn't here for very long before it, but I was here for when the Diamondbacks won the World Series, and they were early. They were early for this town. There was a little bit, you know, everybody was a little more impressed because of the crowd downtown, but, you know, Game 7 was here. You know, they'll reference something that you might remember, the 1993 finals when... I believe it was John Paxson who hit the shot in Game 6 to give the Bulls their third championship in a row. So I was rooting against Michael Jordan because I was a Cleveland Cavaliers fan back there, but I was also rooting for the Phoenix Suns. You don't come from Cleveland like me. You come from Chicago, so you were probably pretty okay with the Suns being sunk that
particular year. Yeah, that's fine. Because the only other team I liked outside of the Bulls was really the Spurs, and it was just because they had a pretty court.
You know, I was down at Tempe Marketplace the other day, and I did see one of those pink those pink build combination Spurs hats.
You didn't grab it?
Well, it was more a me hat than it was a girl of many hats.
Yeah, I got a tiny head, so yeah. Most hats don't fit me.
Right. It was like a Mitchell and Ness fit it, and I think that I'd have to ask for like 5 and 5/8 to fit your head properly.
Mostly.
They don't, whatever size it is, they don't make it.
No, we found one of the Arizona Fall League teams. We got me a fitted hat, but I don't remember what size it is.
Or what team it was.
No, it's the Scorpions.
Oh, okay.
It's the Scorpions hat.
Right on.
But yeah, I don't, it's small. It was like the smallest size they had.
It was the smallest size that they had, and it did not fit you?
I think it was like the smallest kid size they had.
Oh. You know, that you should feel privileged, because I think that we were able to buy like a pair of Superstar Adidas's in like a color that they just don't make for adults.
I also got tiny little mini feet, too, so every now and then I could buy children's shoes.
Well, we're an audio show, so people don't see you. Give your height.
Yeah, I'm just a smidge over 5'10", so having little tiny feet and hands is not good.
Not exactly ideal.
No.
Believe it or not, we're not out in the sun 100% of the time. And I saw this going around on the social medias a couple weeks ago about MTV's schedule. Now, as a little Jenny growing up in suburban Chicago, you were more or less babysat by MTV. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I watched a lot of MTV growing up.
Well, what were some of your favorite shows on MTV growing up?
What were my favorite music videos?
Oh, because they didn't have shows.
Because there weren't shows on at that point. It was all music videos. It was Phil Collins and Madonna, Prince, and 80s. It was the 80s, so.
Video killed the radio star. Right. So that was their first video.
Yeah.
Back in 70, I want to say 79.
The Bungles.
Bungles.
I think.
Well, there were no Bungles. There were Bangles. There were Bangles that did the Eternal Love, and then, geez, it might have been the Bangles that did. I think we're going to prove to be wrong, which is not a good start to our pop culture talk here, but there's not many music videos on MTV. There are zero.
Have like a 22-minute segment every now and then. It's called like the squeeze or like the splash or something.
The fun-filled video playlist.
And that's what it is. Yeah, it's some kind of play there. So there is, but it's 22 minutes, so it's only like 3 or 4 videos with commercials. I mean, if you blink, it's over.
And then you're back to they do have some of their own shows. They have The Challenge, which seems like it's kind of something that was born from. The Challenge seems like it was born from like Road Rules.
It was like Fear Factor.
Fear Factor, Road Rules, all kind of rolled into one. They don't have the Real World. The Paramount app, I think, has like some of the early seasons of The Real World, which was essentially the start of reality television, or as I think that they refer to it now, because it's not really reality. It's just that unscripted television. But they have Ridiculousness. They have the rights to about 7 or 8 movies that they'll play in 6-hour blocks throughout a 24-hour day. But the rest of the time, they have a show that was born from the creators of Jackass back in the day. And that would be skater Rob Dyrdek with, the name of the show, Jen.
Ridiculousness.
And in a given day, there could be anywhere from 18 to 24 hours of Ridiculousness on, because they are half-hour episodes, and they've been at it for like 11 years. And I think that there are many that would have tuned in lately to say they have not been doing this for 13 seasons or 17 seasons, and it's Jackass meets America's Funniest Home Videos, and it's a three-person panel. Occasionally they have a guest, and they honor the guest with the type of video segments, but it's just stupid human tricks.
Yeah. Sometimes it's dogs, sometimes it's animals doing stupid stuff, but mostly it's humans doing crazy nutty things.
Well, and you can't submit directly to the show, so you just, if you want to be on Jackass, and why would, or not Jackass, but Ridiculousness, if you want to be on that show, and I don't know why you would ever want to be on that show, but you have to upload it to the internet and just be at the mercy of going viral for all of the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you just have to hope they find it and put it on air.
Have you seen, and I know that we don't TikTok. I don't have a TikTok. I will never make that jump. But, you see things on TikTok now, You see people, you know, just filming mundane parts of their day. And then you have the stuff that's staged to look like it's not staged. And, you know, some of these people really go in for the bit. Yeah, I was showing you the gummy worms with the ice cream being mixed in the toilet bowl.
Yeah, there's a lot of really bad stuff out there.
And the problem is that people like the car accidents. And, you know, that's the crap that sells anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't think ridiculousness is crap.
It's not. I don't feel like we've gone Idiocracy yet, where we're just watching someone scratch their butt for 2 hours. Yeah.
We'll figure out whose ass it is and why it is farting.
Like, it just, we're not at that point yet, but we're close. We're getting there.
It's being a bad movie. And Idiocracy is
Idiocracy is not a bad movie. Idiocracy was funny when it came out, and now it's... It was obviously a documentary, and we had no idea.
Well, it's tough when you throw those quotes into the atmosphere, you know, the Idiocracy-type quotes, you throw them into the atmosphere, because you just assume that everyone's seen it, and you get that deer-in-the-headlights look from the person who's not seen it. And then you have to, like, sell them on watching the movie so that not only can they get your reference, but everybody's references and all the references that they've missed about, you know, not talking right and, you know, just... the shots and, you know, oh, this one goes in your mouth and this one goes in your butt, and then he inserts them and then he says, oh, wait, and then he switches them up, and, you know, it's that kind of visual comedy that doesn't sell really well on the radio
here. Right.
So
watch Idiocracy at some point.
Yeah, definitely watch Idiocracy. You know, there's a bad movie that came out in 2014 that featured, I'm from Cleveland, I grew up while watching the Browns and everything, and it's called Draft Day. Now, the draft itself, for somebody that's not really into the names transitioning from college football to the NFL, it can drag out. And for someone like me that has some level of interest in it, I get it. You know, that movie Draft Day, it was guys talking on cell phones about fictional players. And they did, like, some cute, like, you know, split-screen cuts and things like that. And it was... It was ugly, but that's not, you know, really what I wanted to talk about as much as it was the actual NFL draft that took place in my hometown the last weekend in April in Cleveland, Ohio. And the weather wasn't great, but they seem to have put on a great show. Sunshine. What do you call the Clemson quarterback who will now play for Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, I always called him Clemson Fabio.
Clemson Fabio. Are you going to call him Jacksonville Fabio or?
No, I'll probably still just call him Clemson Fabio.
Clemson Fabio. Do you think that there's any chance that they can make it work with Gardner Minshew there in Jacksonville, just as far as egos go? Maybe not specifically quarterback play.
Man, I hope they have a good plumber. That's so much hair.
So much hair in the shower drains.
So much hair.
And then the mustache hair. And I think that Gardner Minshew, being the North Florida man that he is, so easily transitioned into after playing his college football up in the Pacific Northwest there. you know, he's just become kind of a cult hero. And then when you sit down and you actually watch his football, you're like, what's the big deal about this guy?
I was really surprised because I kept hearing his name. And then I finally saw him, and, yeah, the dots did not connect for me.
Well, the dots didn't connect for Jacksonville either. That's why it's going
to
be...
But, yeah, I think between the two of them, they'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Jacksonville.
If it's really a problem, I think that Minshew just... I don't think that he's legally allowed to leave the northern portion of Florida due to things that he might have done growing up in Alabama. But... you know, it's interesting because you see these these franchises try to transition. You and I were out and about on Thursday night. I watched the first couple picks, but we were picking up dinner or something like that, and you got a text letting you know that the Chicago Bears are going to try this highly drafted quarterback thing again. Didn't work out so well for Mitchell Trubisky, drafted second overall in 2017. But here we are in 2021, and it's the guy from Ohio State.
It is.
Justin Fields will be the quarterback. Bears fans seem excited about it. Bears fans seem to say hope springs eternal.
Yeah, I'm like I say, Bears fans have a tendency to get excited about any kind of change, even if the change is just kind of like, eh.
When Mac Jones ends up with Belichick there in New England, I think it was a little bit of a surprise because everybody's like, oh, he's going to San Francisco, number 3. And they kind of surprised the world by taking Trey Lance from North Dakota State. Now, that's not the highest quarterback taken even recently out of North Dakota State because you remember Carson Wentz? We had some good times with him in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's going to go to Indianapolis where he'll presumably be the starter. I think that we came out of this draft with non-draft news of a big deal type of nature with Aaron Rodgers. And it's like Favre 2.0.
It is.
He got to be on the other side of it. You know, he got drafted to a team that already had Brett Favre. First round pick. Didn't go quite as high as he thought he would. That was the draft that Alex Smith went number one overall to the 49ers. And Aaron Rodgers is unhappy. And he says that things need to be restructured in Green Bay. And if you believe the scuttlebutt out there, it's that he won't come back. Unless Brian Gutenkoost.
That's their GM, right?
That's fun to say. Yes, yes. Yeah. Gutenkoost.
Yeah, I'm like, if Jeff's not saying it right, you have no idea who that is. I'm pretty sure it's their GM.
Yeah, the GM of Green Bay. Maybe Aaron Rodgers wants him gone. And, you know, this is, again, you know, it's probably just punishment for the Packers taking Jordan Love, number one overall in the previous year's draft. Now, I did see it out there that, and if you know the history with Aaron Rodgers, and he's a little bit of a strange from his family, is that he's finally started to treating the Green Bay Packers organization like his own family.
Is anyone surprised?
What did
surprising Rodgers in general? All? Yeah. I didn't think any of this was surprising.
Did we root for him as the anti-Favre for so long that we lived long enough to him for him to become the villain?
I mean, Green Bay's always kind of the villain. And Favre, no Favre. I mean, no one really... no one likes Green Bay that's not from Green Bay. From Wisconsin.
Do we start liking Favre again because I mean, it's been like 10 years.
No, we always still dislike Favre. I remember Favre's been saying like kind of random crazy stuff lately. Yeah, no, now is not the time to jump back on the Favre wagon.
No. It's time to jump on the Suns wagon. If you haven't been paying attention, they're basically jockeying back and forth with Utah for the number one overall seed. And they've, congratulations, Suns. They've qualified for the playoffs. And I know it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it's been 11 years. Do you remember working in the bar industry for that, you know, that 7 seconds or less Suns run that featured Steve Nash?
I do.
And I didn't really like Steve Nash.
No, I didn't. I still don't.
And, you know, I still had the Cavs. The Cavs weren't as burdened by the shadow of LeBron James back when the Suns were still a playoff team. But, I mean, it was very much Mike D'Antonio, and then he's gone to other places, and he's had varying levels of success, and now he's working for the guy that used to be a player on his team. He's on Steve Nash's bench, and I think it's pretty simple with Brooklyn. I mean, you know, they either win or people get fired.
I actually don't have a Suns hat. I have like so many hats, but I do not have one single Suns hat.
We gotta get you a Suns hat.
Or an orange Suns hat.
The orange Suns hats are nice. You know, the Suns have some options because they've done, you know, they've done the bright orange, they've done the burnt orange, they have the black, they have the colors of the rainbow with the Valley Edition uniforms, which, you know, I think that we get it here in town, which is probably what makes it something special as a home thing. But when you watch and you see, you know, a team wearing jerseys that just say the Valley, you know, you don't see like Devin Booker or Chris Paul or, you know, one of these guys that's familiar to you. You're like, who the heck is the Valley? Isn't Salt Lake City a Valley? Yeah. Isn't there a Valley in Los Angeles? I mean, when we say the Valley, we know what we're talking about here in the Valley.
Not a lot of people know that Phoenix is a Valley.
So maybe they're just trying to get the word out there. Maybe it's just Valley nomenclature awareness for the Phoenix Suns. But they've worn some really doggedy uniforms. I'm looking forward to the Cardinals rebrand. I don't like their uniforms. I don't like their white uniforms specifically with the red shoulders. You know, since Kentucky used to do it with the black and the orange, and I don't like the two-tone uniforms. But what I do like is Arizona Coyotes, Kachina uniforms.
They're great.
They're great. And then they go on the road and they wear those Sedona red, you know, white sweaters again. It's just like, all right, now you look like the expansion team that, there to be the league's patsy. When they wear those kachinas, I think that they
look like a legit hockey team when they wear the kachinas.
And then you get, I think that it wakes up the nostalgia for the fans. Cause the whole Glendale experience, which, coincides with the Sedona red experience there with the Yotes, it's a little off-putting. Because they, not only do you have to drive far, but they were in the playoffs. They were going out and getting Keith Tkachuk, and they were getting Jeremy Roenick. When they wore the kachinas when they originally got to Phoenix from whence they came, which was they were not the Nordiques. They
Winnipeg.
Were the Winnipeg Jets, of course. Of course. I knew that I had it on the tip of my tongue there, but we did not get to a Yotes game. It's crazy to me that the last hockey game that we've been to was a Las Vegas Golden Knights, Los Angeles Kings game up at the T-Mobile Arena.
Didn't even make it to a Yotes game last season.
Did not. That's that makes us bad fans, but,
did not anticipate the season. I like going. Usually one of the last home games that the Coyotes have is around my birthday. So we usually almost wait until my birthday because that's what I want to do for my birthday. And then March 12th came and we lost all our sports. And when you have an April 7th birthday and sports end on March 12th, like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I don't know. You just do what I do with a July birthday. You watch the Home Run Derby. You might have, July 11th. It could be a day without sports. It could be one of those... Used to be rare days without sports.
Yeah.
But, we had a 4-month lull. Basketball was shut down from, March 12th until it came back, I think, in August. Hockey came back in August. There was something that came back like July 31st. But it's all been going on for such a long time now. We're supposed to, have whittled the teams down in basketball and hockey. And we've got everybody going live because they couldn't restart. They couldn't start their next season. They were so affected by what had happened the previous season that, they were bickering over when the next season was going to start. If baseball is going to get 162 games and it looked like geniuses and baseball's been anything but that.
Right.
All right, let's touch on what's been going on lately here with some of the teams. The Diamondbacks, we had the Madison Bumgarner no hits through seven innings, but not a no-hitter experience. After Gallen threw a one-hitter in game one, and I'm going to tell you, if you're going to bastardize the rules in Major League Baseball.
I was going to say another thing. Bumgarner didn't ask to only play seven innings instead of nine. They just decided they were only going to play seven innings.
You only gave him seven innings.
Yeah.
You could have said, hey.
If he didn't get through seven, was like, all right, we're done. That's all we're doing. Let's stop now.
No, that should,
he would have given you two more innings.
That should absolutely be a recorded no-hitter in the books. But somebody wrote something up about nine innings to stop rewarding people for pitching fine in rain-shortened games as if they control the rain.
Exactly.
Anyway,
nobody makes that choice.
They winners of nine of their last 12, but they find themselves in fourth place in the NOS because Giants are playing well. Padres and Dodgers, that's supposed to be a big thing this year.
Dodgers, I saw, kind of hit a little bit of a slump, but even with them slumping a little bit, they're still just tied with the Padres. They didn't really lose any ground.
Well, they were out to like a 14-4 start, so yeah. they could lose four in a row, here and there. Rockies really handed it to the Diamondbacks the other night. It was a 14-6 game, and not one but two position players, Asdrubal Cabrera and Wyatt Matheson, who made his major league pitching debut, both pitched for the Diamondbacks. And it's just it's absolutely insane when you think about the responsibility that you're handing to these guys, because you've got guys that are in the bullpen, they're better pitchers. You've got starting pitchers that started the day before or in the days to come that are better options to pitch, but you literally don't care about the game. So you're saying, okay, that guy, you playing shortstop, come in to pitch like it's the Bad News Bears or something.
Yeah.
They're fun, but they're not really super interesting games. I had mentioned to you before we went on here about the YouTuber's roommate with the going to a Diamondbacks game on a date.
I almost sent you this story because we have a tendency, and admittedly we go to a lot of baseball games, we have a tendency to get stuck around people who are on one of their first couple dates. first date, second date, third date, they're still just kind of talking about their history and themselves. And it's, I don't know, it has not been enjoyable.
Yeah, being around that first date, I mean, the first date is cute, but being around that first date, yeah.
So when I saw the story at first, I was like,
Okay, so tell us the story.
Oh, I mean, it's, yeah, this guy knew his roommate was going to be there on a date with a chick, and I guess he has, like, a pretty decent YouTube following. Mm-hmm. I didn't gather what he does on YouTube, that he has a decent YouTube following.
He's an influencer-exfluencer.
But, he just kind of, like, at Diamondbacks, you know, my roommate's sitting here, can we check in and see how their date's going? And, yeah, Diamondbacks got in on it, Bally Sports got in on it, they were all kind of going around trying to find this guy in the stadium, and then they finally found them and got him up on the big screen, and... Yeah, it was all good fun.
Yeah, they gave him some souvenirs for being part of the fun, for the, you know, the entertainment fun, especially when the team's getting blown out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought...
So it was a good little story, but, you know, thankfully, as we've stated, people who have sat around people who are dating at baseball games, thank God you couldn't actually hear anything they were talking about.
All right. So Diamondbacks... on their way to Miami, I believe they got four with Miami, and then they're going to play the Mets over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday up there in Queens, New York. Let's see if they can keep it up, and let's see if something gives with the Giants, Padres, and the Dodgers in the NL West, because Diamondbacks are playing some good baseball, but they've got to play exceptionally well in order to get into this National League playoff hunt. I mentioned the... Yotes, they have the Kings on Monday. They got one more at home with the Kings, and then they go up to the Shark Tank, and that's it. And if they're in the top four in the West Division, then there's more Yotes. Otherwise, it ends with these four games against these California teams.
Yeah, we're not missing the Yotes no more.
No bonus hockey, Jen.
Just fine. Let the Suns have the attention.
It will be fun to watch the Suns kind of own the town for a little while. Cardinals, we won't hear from them for a while, but they got this big linebacker, this 6'3", 270-pound linebacker from Tulsa named Zaven Collins. He's going to be fun. It's bad news for Jordan Hicks here. And then Cardinals just love the guys that are under 6 feet tall. They get this guy that's 5'7" from Purdue named Rondale Moore. Now, the guy is 5'7". He squats like 600 pounds, and he runs like a 4.2 40. So he's exciting, but he's still very small. They got the guy that threw a shoe and cost Florida a game, if not a chance, at the college football playoff last year, Marco Wilson. He's going to join the Cardinals. Let's see what kind of shenanigans that he gets into. But after the draft, really, Cardinals talk should be mum until training camp starts in August. So
he threw a shoe?
He threw a shoe, and they threw a flag on him, and it gave LSU a first down, and Florida didn't get the ball back for a chance to, to win the SEC.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was some pretty bad stuff. And then we got on the Suns. They had a 5-game road trip. They went 3-2. They lost back to back nights, but to Boston and Brooklyn on the road. And when you're as good as the Suns, you could afford to play with house money. They did not play well in either game, but you come home, you win your home games. They've got who do they have? They have Oklahoma City on Sunday. They're at Cleveland Tuesday, at Atlanta on Wednesday, and then they're back home for the Knicks and the Lakers. I suspect that they will have no problem with any of those three teams on the road. And then, if the Knicks have a little bit of a vengeance factor coming into Phoenix after what the Suns did to them at MSG, that's fine. And the Lakers, the more miles you put on LeBron James, I think the bigger favor that you do yourself coming down the stretch. Because teams that don't have LeBron James are generally a lot worse than teams that do have him.
Right.
That's what we've seen over the years. But he's even said it. He's 35 years old, and he's got this this ankle that's never going to get healthy. And he's going to play through it. Now, he doesn't have to play like Olympic summers or anything, but the expectation is every team that he joins, he's going to win a championship for them every year that he takes the court. And that's not the reality. I don't know if it's the reality is that the Suns or the Jazz could come out of the West, but I think that even if it was the Jazz, the disappointment that it not being the Suns would be offset by the fact that it's also not the Lakers. I think that there's a almost equal victory in the Lakers' failure to the Suns' success amongst Suns fans. Maybe that's just me as a Cleveland fan thinking about being thinking about not rooting for my team, but rooting against the teams that I don't like because it's been so bad for so long. And I think that you know this fan base has probably done it with the Spurs. You know, anybody that has success, I don't think that Suns fans particularly have enjoyed watching the Clippers go from being the joke of the league because it meant the Suns kind of took over that role. But, you know, those days are kind of over, and it had nothing to do with ownership. Sarver's still there. It's just they put Monty Williams in place. They got lucky with Devin Booker, and I think that they made this a place an appealing enough of a destination for Chris Paul. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of all the chips on the table right now. Chris Paul is not going to be a long-term Phoenix Sun. So, but that's your team. I mean, that if you're looking to go to a parade in Phoenix, you're hoping it's, you know, 3 or 4 months from now, celebrating the purple and the orange and all the colors of the Valley rainbow. Our pop culture was about ridiculousness tonight. That was a pretty comfortable subject, Jen.
Yeah.
All right. And then we touched on everybody in the Valley. Talked about the NFL draft. Trevor Lawrence goes 1. Zach Wilson goes 2 to the Jets. Trey Lance goes 3 to the San Francisco 49ers. Your Arizona Cardinals use the 16th pick to pick up Zaven Collins. And I think that's just going to about do it for us here on this edition of the Super Serious Sports Show. Was it super serious enough for you?
No, I think we probably could have been a little more serious.
Was it sportsy enough for you?
I think it was sportsy enough.
Was it a show?
It was a show.
It was definitely a show, and we're going to call it a show. She's Jen Rich. Let's give a shout-out to Julian on the other side of the glass. My name's Jeff Rich. This has been the Super Serious Sports Show on CentralCityRadio.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.